views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Well, today I'm going to start off with a quote, actually, from my guest. And here it is. People are being awakened in waves across the world. And she wants them to know that they are not alone and they're not crazy. And I picked that quote because I think the biggest fear that people have is when they're on their journey of being awakened, or they are awakened, or they don't even know what's going on, is that they have this fear that they'll be isolated, that they feel isolated, and it's confusing to them. So I'm so grateful that my guest today, who is an author, she's an empath, a spiritual healer, and an archangel communicator, her name is Kim Work, and I hope I said that one right, is here, and she is sharing not just her life as an empath, but we are going to dive deeper into the challenges, the humor, and what the heck do you do if you are an empath? And we're just going to experience her energy, because there's a lot of people who, and I'm going to include myself in this show for sure, because I got some fun questions that even I get confused and think, what the heck is going on? Is this just me thinking, making things up, or what's going on? And I know that all the listeners right now are experiencing that, or they want to reach out to the angels that they know are there, that in their realm, and they're there for them, but they want to have better communication with them. So as I welcome Kim to the show, I must share with you that Kim and everybody, this morning, like even I was getting up, I was like, ooh, I'm feeling butterflies in my stomach. Something's going to happen. Like, this is a big thing. So Kim, my goodness, you and your book and all your energy and good stuff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so honored and happy to be on your show.
Oh, this has been a crazy buildup, because we've been speaking now back and forth, but not communicating for about 2 months now. And I've been following you, and you've just been on this great journey to Arizona, to Sedona. And so that's probably, you're just fully charged. That's what's going on.
I'm like a battery. I'm powered up now.
Yes. Now, I just finished reading your second book. And upon reading that, I have to say there is, wow, I felt like I went through like 10 movies. That's what it felt like. I feel like I just got out of the theater and watched, you know, movies from Thor to, I don't even know, like, and Mrs. Doubtfire, like it was everything.
So much drama.
There really was in it. I mean, your life itself is, here's the first question. So you are an active healer. You're out healing people on a regular basis, but you also have your angels and archangels going on in the background. But then, I mean, you're this normal young chick going around doing stuff. So what is your life like?
Very, very busy. I get asked, I can't tell you how many times, how do you do all that?
Yes.
It's the funniest question.
Because you're like, well, I don't know, I just don't know how to stop it. But okay, how about that? Would you ever want to, and can you just tell the angels and energy just to stop it? You need some space, you need some time. Like, do you ever like tap out?
Nope. I never do.
Oh.
I really don't. Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people say that they do. And I understand. I definitely understand why they would want to or do. But honestly, I'm fine. Like, the pace doesn't bother me at all. I work all day. Then I take clients in the evening, and I teach in the evening, and I teach on the weekends, and I take more clients. And, you know, in between all that, I'm chit-chatting with whoever I'm chit-chatting with, getting info. And honestly, most times it's not enough.
Oh, my goodness.
I need more info. I need more of this. I need more of that. I need help developing another ability, because I feel like I'm hitting the ceiling here. Like, I'm nonstop. Really,
you're
am.
Looking for ways to deepen that. And so you also have a son, and you have pets, and you have, well, let's talk about Ken even. So you do have a partner to help you and aid you through this. Well, he's your best friend too. So, but to heal. So you run workshops as well as the clients. Give us an example of what goes on in a workshop, so whoever's listening can go, oh, that's what goes on. What happens?
Well, I teach so many different types of workshops. It's pretty funny. I teach like 2-day workshops. I teach 2-hour workshops. I even have 1-hour workshops. So it can be anywhere from an hour of infinity healing where Ken and I are sitting at the front. Ken's basically rattling off what I need to do, and I'm just bullet firing one after the other, healing the group. Other ones, empath development. That's probably a super fun class, because I get to just kind of stand up at the front, and I'm just energized through the whole thing. I'm just like, yes, this is, yes, yes, that's true. Yes, that's right.
Oh.
And just go and go and go. And this is what an empath is all about. And people really love that one. I really enjoy teaching it. And then like this week, I just taught how to make crystal elixir, which is just an hour and a half class, and super easy, just kind of going through the do's and the don'ts and how to do it at home, because, you know, it gets really expensive when you're trying to buy the fancy decanters and the fancy crystal holders. And I'm like, oh, I can show you the poor man's version.
Yes, yes, we like that. Let's get to the basics.
Yeah.
Well, and I like that you're, so the two things that you mentioned already, so a workshop, you're not just healing someone, you're facilitating, you're not just justifying that they are hearing something or feeling something, but how to do it, how to you're validating in a neat way, but then showing them how to work on it so they can get deeper, and then how to make their own elixirs, and you actually do oils too, right? Is that correct? Yeah.
I actually don't do oils. I sell an oil. I got a formula from an archangel. And then I have a professional that mixes it for me, and it's just the one oil, and it's a blend of 13 essential oils, and that is for the purposes of protection. It is so that empaths especially, or anybody who chooses to use it, will be protected from taking on the energy of others for 5 hours. Unfortunately, it wears off a little bit.
That's something I really did want to dive into. I'm going to be really honest, that's probably one of my own things. I probably veer away from stuff like if I'm thinking that somebody, an entity, an energy, or an angel, which I'm going to ask you to identify those, but I don't want to get scared. Nobody wants to be scared and everything. So, and I think, well, why do I want to have, I don't want to be in protection mode. I find it draining to even be in protection mode. So can we be harmed by these things? Like, or is it more of a protection from being drained? Or you.
It's protection from being drained, or it's not really protection from anything bad. It's just protection to keep yourself just yourself, so that you're not influenced by other people's moods, so you're not influenced by their energy, so that you don't get tired, so you don't get run down. Empaths, until they learn the tricks of the trade, are overwhelmed whenever they go to a public place, and this just eliminates that. For that 5 hours, of course, it wears off. But it's not like it's protecting you from any harm or anything like that. It's not like that kind of protection. And the other thing it does for you is when you're in a lower space where you're upset or you're angry, because everybody has those emotions. Let's call them lower emotions, the less positive ones. The oil actually reduces the amount of time you're able to stay in that state of mind. So it'll actually reduce it. Yeah, and it just brings you up out of that slump a little quicker, which is really nice. And it does a multitude of other things, but those are, you know, it's taken quite a bit of testing to find out what all it does. the sneaky archangel, you know, didn't mention all these other perks and bonuses.
That was your fun. That's the fun part of the journey. When you say that, let's think about people who do get in that little bit of a slump or a lower, less positive kind of space. Is that just human nature because we're dealing with stuff in our own things, or is it other energies around us affecting us? It's like a tricky web.
It's all of it. It's everything. It's even environmental stuff, right?
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna dive into this one. You do deal with the Akashic Records, and I am so new to this. I mentioned this, I think, on the last show. You mentioned these three words: timelines, dimensions, and realities. Are the Akashic Records part of that? If you can help just like discern that from all those things for us.
Akashic records are very tricky. Akashic records hold all information about you, everything. Every little emotion, thought, experience, everything. From past lives, future lives, existing lives, from your every thought, every emotion, every experience, from second to second. So you can imagine how vast each individual's Akashic records are.
Mm-hmm.
The misconception is that you can alter or change anything and everything in the Akashic Records, and that's not true. There's only certain things that you can address in your Akashic Records. There's only certain things that you can go in there for to heal or to change or alter or even just get information about. There are limitations and there are restrictions. And the Lord of the Akashic Records and Angel Riddell are the ones who basically say yay or nay whether you're going in there, what information you're getting. If you're going to change anything, they actually make the change, not you. You make the request. And sometimes it's a no-go. And they may or may not give you a reason as to why. And so I keep it pretty simple when I teach beginner and intermediate, because it's so much information, and I tend to focus on just teaching people how to get in there and how to know you're in there and how to communicate with the Lord of the Akashic Records and Angel Riddell and to know for sure that you are. And then from there I teach them how to do readings and how to tap into other people's Akashic Records and how to get information for them. And how to narrow down the focus, how to narrow down the scope to just that little bit, because you can't really just go in there and go poking around and go, I'm just going to grab things at random. It doesn't work that way, right? Too much. So it's really, you really need to know what you're doing to be effective. And so that was something I had to learn on my own, because the books out there I found were too vague or misleading a little bit, and I kind of got frustrated. And so I just worked with Ken and the Lord of the Akashic Records to kind of verify things and get more accurate information. And I ended up having to build my own course material to teach it. And my students are flourishing. It's so beautiful to watch them grow and change, and they're just so different, some of them, like just so much healthier. And they're learning. I try to teach people not just how to do it, but how to continue to figure it out on your own, not just to go buy the book, but to figure out how to grow on your own and how to know that what you're doing is safe and you know, that you're not going to do any harm. And I find that's the most important thing, is to just teach them how to fish, right?
Right. And I love that. Yeah, it's like, I kind of chuckled when you said about buy the book, because these are records, like kind of like buy the book. So when I was reading your Awakened Empath, The Evolution Continues, I was reading about how you had discovered, or I'm going to say was just shown, your past lives. Now, were you going into the Akashic Records to find that, or were you going through different portals?
To get a lot of my past life stuff, that was actually through other means.
Mm.
Sometimes Akashic Records, but not usually. Not in the beginning, no.
Okay. No, do people not usually start? Like, is
Is that a good starting place, or is it best? Where is a starting point? If I were to say, Kim, my name is Lisa. I think I'm an empath for whatever reason. I think this, and I would like to start. I don't even know what the word is. Start mastering my Where do I start? What is it I do first?
I definitely don't recommend people start with Akashic Records because it is so advanced and so complicated, and there's so much lingo that you need to learn. I do actually recommend people start with Reiki 1 or an empath development course or crystals, working with crystals. Start at those. Yeah, those are beginner level type stuff.
Okay. The crystals is kind of interesting because I guess that's the way they can hold something in their hand, look at something, feel what's going on. It's more like tangible, would you say?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And crystals are gentle.
Oh, it's natural and gentle. Yes.
Exactly.
Now,
and it's pretty.
Yeah, they are. I think that's actually what the very first thing is that I was even drawn to the crystals. I was just like, I can't stop looking at them. They're so beautiful. like the earth jewelry. Now, the Reiki. So in Reiki, I love this. And yes, actually, we do have. We have 1 minute before commercial, but I think we can start this a little bit. You teach the Reiki. You are the Reiki. But you've actually... you've created and trademarked. No, you were shown a symbol and then trademarked. How did that work? Well, you've got your own symbol.
I do. Yeah, so I asked for it, 2 years before I actually got it.
Wow.
I guess I wasn't ready for it yet, neither was mankind. But once we were ready and they were finally ready to divulge it to me, I realized why they delayed giving it to me. Mm-hmm. It is now currently the strongest symbol available to mankind.
Oh my gosh. And it's called the empath symbol.
It is.
That one caught me. Your book is full of surprises, I have to tell you. I'd be reading it, and then I go from one emotion to like, oh, whoa, now I'm learning. Wait, we're learning now. Okay, I got to put on that brain. I go, oh, now we're back in this woo stuff. What's going on? But I do want to focus when we come back, because the empath symbol, as you just said, I mean, you were given and shown more, but we're going to come back and talk about that very empath symbol.
Absolutely.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with us here at Light on Living. I've got Kim Werick here. She has written Awakened Empath. That's her second book, actually, The Evolution Continues. It's the sequel to Waking Up an Empath. And we kind of left off. I'm asking Kim about a Reiki symbol, which she had asked to receive to assist her in healing on a deeper level, a wider level. And I love that she used the word mankind, actually. That's a big one. And she did receive the empath symbol. So Kim, I find this fascinating and so special. Like, it's so special and such an honor, I think, that you could ask for something for the world. And as you said, it was a time delayed, or when you got it, you didn't get it and all that stuff. I would love to hear that story about how you asked and why you asked and when you received it and what happened.
So it would have been about a year after my awakening that I somehow just knew that there was an empath symbol for empaths. I don't know what twigged me. I guess I was seeing symbols from other people that they've published. And I remember searching and looking for an empath symbol, thinking that there was something that would unite us all. And I couldn't find one. I'm like, no, but I'm sure there is one. I know there's one. Where is it? And then I finally clued in and I asked, I'm like, is there not one available to us yet? And they're like, nope. I'm like, oh, well then can I have it? And I tried and I didn't get it. And I got frustrated and I'm like, well, I'll just make one then. I'll just create my own.
Wow.
worth a darn.
Right.
And it just doesn't work. And so it wasn't until about 2 years after my awakening that they finally said, okay, we can give it to you now. I'm like, what, really? And so I'm a terrible drawer. I don't draw well at all. So Ken, thankfully, helped me.
Yeah, Ken.
And yeah, exactly. And so he helped me figure out the shape of it, and we finally got it drawn properly. And drawing it by hand, it looked pretty goofy. But then, thankfully, I had friends who are graphic artists, and they actually turned it digital, and it looks so cool. And so then I started working with it, and I'm like, holy smokes, this thing's powerful. And it's not the symbol itself that's powerful. It's what it's connected to. It's the energy that it's connected to.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, the energy it's connected to.
Exactly. It's more like that. It's like the light switch, the in-between, right? It connects you to it. So I put it in the book, and of course, at that point, I guess I had gotten quite used to it, and my vibration kind of came up to match it, so there wasn't as much contrast for me.
Oh.
But when I started getting other people to work with it, I realized how powerful it was and that I saw the effects it had on other people. And when people hover their hand over the symbol in the book, their hand would get crazy hot or tingly, or they'd have, I had one person just about pass out. And I have to start being more careful about doing that, because it kind of depends where they're at, right? And people who aren't empaths don't usually notice it as much or if at all, but empaths always notice. And I had one guy, remember, Ken was showing in my book and said, here, just have your hand over the symbol in the book. And his hand got really hot. And he's like, can I see that book? And he's looking for the battery. He's looking for what's making it. It was hilarious.
Wow.
He's like, no, there's no battery. That's me. And you're connecting to that symbol. And he just couldn't wrap his head around that.
I'm fascinated by the symbols. And on two things, I have a question for you. You said it brings a symbol, let's say symbols in general, but the symbols can bring your energy up to match it. So I'm feeling like, if I'm understanding this correctly, we're using symbols, especially in Reiki, to demonstrate what level of vibration that symbol is that we want to get to. Mm-hmm. If that, okay, good, yay. So, I'm going to throw this at a little bit controversy here. I know people who have connected with an illness, let's say it's cancer, it's depression, it's whatever, and there are symbols for those diseases, imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they were to see that symbol all the time or tattoo it or have something like that, would that not be bringing them to that energy of that disease or symptom?
Could it bring you back down?
Yeah.
It hasn't been my experience. No, once you reach a higher vibration, you don't go back typically. Oh. I haven't had that happen with anybody. If anything, you just kind of just stop where you're at. You just stay kind of at that vibration. You don't go down, but you don't go up.
So if you saw a symbol for breast cancer, the ribbon, or you saw a symbol for another disease, you're not going to drop to match.
Well, bear in mind that not everything drawn is a spiritual symbol or connected to an energy.
Oh.
A lot of them are man-made.
Okay, that's important to know. Okay.
Very important. So something like, the cancer symbol, that's man-made and is not connected to any particular energy. This one given to me by the archangel, these are... Oh, how would you explain it? The archangels are very deliberate in connecting that symbol with that energy. So the symbols in my second book, all the ones that were on the cover, many of those weren't even active. They're not even active. All they are is drawings currently.
So even though,
yes, they are symbols, they're pretty much useless until they're activated.
Much like, say,
the breast cancer symbol that has been man-made. Unless somebody, and when I say somebody, I mean higher beings, connects it to a very specific energy, it's just a picture.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think more of a how we feel about it and things like that. Okay.
Pretty much, yeah.
So this is kind of neat. So you have these little chit-chats with your archangels. And angels. Oh, we should maybe establish the difference. What is the difference between an archangel and an angel?
An angel is between about 66% and 99.9% of light. And the biggest difference that I know of is that they're not omnipresent. So angels can only be in one place at a time.
Okay.
Archangels, however, are omnipresent and they can be in multiple places at once. And that being said, they can't necessarily action stuff in multiple places at once. It just means that they can be in multiple places at once. So they can communicate with multiple people. They can see multiple things. They can, be present in multiple places. But to actually act, they can't do that. They can really only do one thing at a time.
So is it
more than one thing, but...
I don't know if this is the right question, but is it fair? I don't know the word it is. Is it okay of us and fair of us to ask angels to help us do things? Is that
absolutely
that's okay?
No, they want us to. That is their purpose. That is what they do. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean just because you ask, you're going to get.
Right. Yes. And when you are angels people who have passed on?
No.
My mom's passed. So is my mom an angel now or something like that or no?
No, souls and beings are quite different. Souls are humans who incarnate we can incarnate in lots of places, yes, for sure. But souls, angels and archangels don't have souls. So I call them beings because it's distinct difference between them and us for sure.
And beings will never turn into humans or so, like beings are, they're the, all that light. They're the 66% to 99% light.
Well, and that's the funny thing. There's no absolutes with this kind of stuff.
Okay.
There are a few angels that have incarnated. They had to get a soul to incarnate. But when they go back to being an angel or an archangel, they don't have a soul.
Okay, so while they're beings, they don't have this. Oh my gosh, that's crazy. Okay,
it's complicated. I know sometimes my head just wants to explode.
Right. So and actually, if I could just bring Ken into this conversation here, he does some things. He is more audio sentient. Is that my understanding? He hears things where you see things.
I hear things as well. I'm a lot more clairaudient now than I used to be. He used to be mostly just clairaudient. He didn't used to be clairvoyant. He didn't used to get a lot of visuals. But I've helped him develop his abilities as my abilities develop to allow me to help others develop theirs. And he is a lot more clairvoyant now. He gets a lot more visuals now.
Well, that must be much more helpful.
Yeah, oh yeah, believe me. Yeah, no, we've changed a lot even since I've written the second book.
Oh, okay. When did this second book come out? Because it's just recent.
You think it just happened?
I was going to say, wait, what do you mean this just happened? I just got this. Oh, what time speed and timeline do these angels work in here? Because they seem even faster than you and I.
Just about anyone they want.
And actually, that comes. I read some beautiful things that you kept mentioning in your statement: timelines, dimensions, and realities. So I think I've got timelines. Like when I think of past lives, I'm thinking timelines. Now dimensions, I'm getting a little confused between dimensions and realities, because reality, of course, makes me go, it's not reality. So now I'm getting confused. So what are the definitions of those in your?
Oh, there's. So hard to describe. It was why I put it in my book, and it's such a long description. I'll even actually pull it out for you, because I had to actually write it, rewrite it, check it, and I still don't have it totally memorized, because I actually was channeling the information, and I often will forget and have to go back to my book and go, oh, yeah, what was that again?
Well, I love that you actually say that, because, you know, we don't all have to. Like, that's the biggest thing is about, I think people are, I'll use myself. I hear music all the time, and I know it's not here, again, in this world, reality, dimension, whatever that word is, but it's not just in my ears either. Like, I can specifically, it's a feeling to me. I can feel it, and I just don't tell anybody. Now, I just told everybody, but I don't tell anybody, because I don't know which reality is that. Am I just crazy pants, or what's going on? Do I need to get my hearing checked? And I go, well, why would I be hearing music? Like, it's very lovely music. Sometimes it's annoying. Sometimes the game shows come on and thinking, oh my gosh, stop it. But was one decipher those things?
It's hard. Like, even in classes, I pretty much have to draw it on the whiteboard in a very crude manner to try to explain it, because it's so complicated, right? Because realms is like locations where souls reside, right?
Okay.
And the thing about realms is there's only three of them. And realities, they're different. There's like, I think there's really infinite number of realities. Like, I don't really think that there's a limitation there. And if there is, I'm not aware of it. But
is that infinity healing? It's just infinity. Infinity reality.
Yeah. Like, well, it seems like it to us, maybe, I guess.
Oh,
but with,
yeah.
With the realities, they only exist in the fourth dimension. So, yeah, your head wants to explode. And even the two pages that I wrote up in that limited fashion, there is way more information that I just haven't even gotten yet.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, you know, I'm still working on trying to expand on that, but I want to make sure that it's accurate, right? That's the hard part, is that you think you got it, and then you realize, no, there's still more.
Yes. And that's funny, because even sometimes when I think the music, I think, no, I think what's happening is I'm trying to make it into a song that I would know or it's familiar, so I can put a name on and go, yeah, I'm hearing this song. But it's not. I can't. And I can't even put my finger on the instrument that I'm hearing specifically. Someone's like, oh, no, it's a saxophone.
Yeah.
Nope, absolutely. No, it's piano. No.
Exactly. It's kind of like that.
Okay, well, that helps, because I'm just trying to identify with all the listeners who are really thinking, you know, I know something's going on, somebody knows something's going on. They feel out of balance, but connected to these out of balance, because maybe there's a healing going on, but maybe it's in their past life. I find this fascinating about having to heal or forgive, but from another past life. I mean, come on, don't we have enough baggage in this life?
No kidding, eh?
That's how I felt. Yes, like you got to worry about
that.
Yeah, so when you went through, like, cause even in this book here, you went through, I think there was at least four past life stories that you had some heavy lifting to do. And
oh, yeah.
Well, like, they're intense. It's really intense. And are you still having more memories since writing this book? Have you recalled even more past lives that you needed to work with?
Oh, all the time. Oh. All the time. Oh, yeah, it's pretty much a regular occurrence. I don't think it'll ever stop.
Okay.
You know, if something in the past life is influencing me at the moment, it'll surface.
Mm.
And I have to address it. I have to deal with it. Otherwise, I'm going to stall. So I don't ignore them when they come up, when things come up for me. I'm just like, okay, what's this about? Why am I reacting this way? Why am I feeling this way? Why? Often it's past life stuff. I had something recently, and it's kind of another heavy story, but I had something come up where I was getting really angry with people who were not following my instructions. And then making a mistake because they didn't follow the instructions I gave them, which were really good, really accurate, and would have helped them significantly. And I would get so upset about it. I'm like, why am I getting so upset about it? Like, who cares, right? Like, and we're talking like minor stuff. Like, I told you to do the laundry like this with this soap and this, right? Like, stupid everyday stuff.
Okay.
Who cares if they didn't do it the way I said? I'm like, okay, so something going on here. Well, it turns out, and this is sucky, in a past life, I was in charge of, I guess the equivalent would be like a princess or something, and I was providing instructions to men in the field, and so I gave the information for a battle. I guess there was some sort of like war going on or a battle going on or something or other. And I gave the instructions to say, I don't know the names of the pecking order, but
right.
I gave the instructions to say the commander, whomever that was. And they were the intermediary, and they were supposed to give the information to the guys on the battlefield.
Okay.
Well, the intermediary decided they knew better than I did because I was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't give them all the information, and everybody on that battlefield on our side died. Every single one of them.
Slaughtered. This is something that in that time that is devastating,
mm-hmm.
and you're angry.
Devastating.
And
yes.
And so.
And I don't even think the full weight of it hit me necessarily then.
Oh, see how I told you? We're gonna have surprises like that. We're coming right back to that story. How's that for a cliffhanger? There you go. 2 minutes.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this, she even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Jumping back into Kim Works' amazing story, season
empath. She's an author. She's an amazing everything. It's just lovely to speak to. She did write The Awakened Empath, which is the second book. It's The Evolution Continues. And as we do continue, Kim, I'm going to jump into that story, but I just want to let everybody know who's listening to this part of it. This is the things that when you do in your everyday life and you're like, why is this bothering me? Why am I freaking out? Why am I upset? Why am I, I can't say the word, ecstatic, happy. And sometimes it's not just in our current life. It's actually in a past life. And so that was what Kim is sharing with us right now, that she has just been traveling back through another life. She was not listened to. Well, that nobody likes that. And directions and instructions were not followed, or not heard, not followed through, not accepted. And this was a mass devastation of many lives wasted and lost, and people died. And now you're left there in that life. Is there anything more to that in that past life feeling?
Nothing from that past life, but what I did ask was if they had followed my instructions as laid out, would everyone have lived?
Oh,
and the answer was yes.
Oh,
and I'm
like,
no.
Oh, rubbed it in.
Oh, that's harsh.
So that's heavy.
It bleeds into the simplest day-to-day lives. And I said, well, how long has this been going on? Like, how long have I been influenced by this one event? And they said, well, each lifetime, it just kind of got worse and worse and worse, because every time I was ignored, or every time that somebody didn't take my direction or whatever, and I would get upset, it was just compounding and compounding and compounding until I was basically now in this lifetime, and even throughout this life, to the point where even the stupidest little thing that they weren't following my direction on would get me upset. And it all went all the way back to that one big event, right? And so once I cleared it, once I healed that, it's like, okay, well, now I don't get so, like, worked up about silly things.
But, and that's a huge thing. And I know in the book you talk about all the different ways. Like, I was blown away. Like, if I were to think, oh, yeah, you know, I've heard about hooks maybe or something, or past life, but you really going to, there's a lot of ways that we are influenced or stalled or captured by past stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even, my gosh, no wonder you have to learn all these new techniques, because each one, contracts. Sorry, that is what I'm so excited I remembered. I don't want to let you go without talking about that. Okay, I've got a beef with this whole contract stuff, Kim. I would assume, because I'm in my world right now, if I wrote a contract this life, I think I'd want it done for the next life. So how can we, are contracts actually good? I mean, I'm feeling like they're kind of bad.
No, I say they're very good. And you can only create them in between lives. You don't actually create them when you're incarnated.
Oh, okay. Wait, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good.
Yeah.
And it's my soul. So my own soul goes back to soul land and says, all right, let's write some more contracts for the next life.
Absolutely.
Oh, but then I have to take responsibility then. I don't like that either.
Darn it all. So, yeah, and if they're fulfilled, they will just basically dissolve. But if they're unfulfilled from one lifetime to the next, then they remain until they are consciously cleared.
Okay.
And
if they're not cleared, let's say they, I came down, I was supposed to do this contract and I didn't, so I go back into soul world, I go, I got to do that one again. And well, I'm excited because I wanted to do it, so I write it out. Do I have more... am I more fueled? Am I irritated by it, or am I more driven because of it? Or is that just more of a personal trait?
It's more of a personal trait.
Okay.
Yeah, you're quite a bit different in when you're not human, when you're just your soul, when you're just who you are in the spirit realm. You have a lot more information, and you kind of see bigger perspective, and so. Mm-hmm. You do kind of know what you're doing. When you're incarnated, you're influenced by things that you wouldn't be influenced by otherwise.
And so sometimes those contracts are just, it's not that they're bad, it's just that they never got fulfilled and they're no longer applicable because you had different plans for this lifetime. And they're just kind of getting in the way. Right?
They're annoying.
To fulfill it when it's not really important.
Right. Okay. Oh, you so clarified that. I love that. Okay. So I'm going to, as an example, I'm here. I'm like, no, I'm not here to do that contract. That's an old one. You're getting in the way. But I keep, you know, like you said, being attracted to or drawn into, whether it's a position, you know, in a career or a relationship or who knows, we can clear these, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
We can say, no more.
Yeah.
Okay. How does one do that? Can we do it by ourselves or do we need somebody to help us?
You can't really do it yourselves without training because you really kind of have to know what you're asking for. You got to be specific. Uh-huh. Archangels, Lord of the Akashic Records, won't make changes randomly unless asked. And if you're not asking for something specific, it's not going to happen. And they don't do things for you. They only do things if asked to do it because you have free will and they don't interfere unless specifically asked and given permission. So you do have to kind of know what you're doing and what you're asking for. And I do recommend you go to somebody who's actually trained or get the training and then have them do it. And not everyone has the ability to change Akashic Records. It is a very small number in the human population.
Oh, wow. And you're one of them.
Oh. I happen to be one of them, yeah. There's, I know it would be a beautiful thing to say everybody can do it and, you know, rah, rah, we're all the same, we can all do the same things, but it's a lie. And even though it's not what people want to hear, I am not going to lie to you. So you might be able to read your Akashic Records. Most people can, even if you're taught. Most people can read their own Akashic Records. Not everybody can read another person's Akashic Records, and even fewer can rewrite Akashic Records.
Oh, this is like a computer, like a read-only file.
Yeah. And it's not a popular comment because everybody wants to hear that they can do it themselves. And believe me, I'm the first one to teach you. If you can do it, I'm going to teach you how.
I really appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, and that's just one of them. And for good bloody reason.
Seriously, yes.
For good reason. It's set up that way. And the people who have the ability incarnated with that ability, I haven't seen anybody get it after the fact because they asked.
Okay.
Again, there's no absolutes with this stuff.
Right.
could totally, maybe somebody, whatever, for whatever reason.
Can read them?
Yeah.
He can read them.
Yeah.
Can you request change or?
Yeah, he can.
Oh, look at you guys. Oh, you're so drawn to each other too. that is so neat that people can come to you and do those things. I want to make sure I ask this question as well. Forgiveness.
Yes.
Now, forgiveness is a tricky one. See, I practice the Ho'oponopono. I do this with others. I feel like I can feel where they need that forgiveness or desire that forgiveness. I want to ask you, because I've read your book, and there is a lot of forgiveness that's really hard that's going on in there. And could not forgiving truly hold us back and destroy our lives? Or, you know, can you talk about forgiveness?
No, it doesn't hold you back. But like in the book, I give the example of an angel because that is going to speak to people like nothing else.
Right.
Like if you have an angel like the Zeke who incarnated, he did have a soul at the time, and he had a really, really terrible experience. And he's an angel, and he hasn't forgiven the person who hurt him. And that was hard for me to wrap my head around because me, like every other human, thinks angels are absolutely perfect beings who would never have to forgive anybody, who could just forgive in a heartbeat. And in talking to him, he did not want to forgive this guy. No freaking way. And I'm like, but Zeke, you'll never become an archangel if you don't forgive. It holds you back just that little bit. It's just that one little thing hanging on. It's that little speck of lower energy that you don't need. That why not just let that go? And it took quite a bit of coaxing from me and others and other like angels and he didn't really want to talk about it.
Right. Yeah.
It was a little bit of time that passed and we just kind of gave him some space and then came back to it. And then he finally came around and was like, okay, yeah, no, I'm going to do it. And we all supported him and he did. He did it. He let it go. And, you know, just that one little thing, but it does raise your vibration. Mm-hmm. And it did for him. And so, no, it's not going to hold you back. I mean, bloody heck, he's an angel. Like, we're so beyond reaching that level, let me tell you. Right. But does it hold you back a tiny bit? Yeah, it does. Okay. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to use that as my quote now. Forgiveness raises the vibration.
That's
beautiful. Actually, that's a nice one. And if somebody right there at listening is thinking, yeah, well, I am angry and I don't forgive. And, but they recognize a desire for them to raise their vibration or that they do, is this again a situation where they might want help? Like what you did for the angel, like would they seek help?
Yeah.
To do that.
A lot of people need help with it. And sometimes it's just having the awareness, giving them some space to mull it over, giving them time with it. You know, sometimes you do need time to come to terms with it. You just need to come to terms with the hurt. And you need to be able to understand why, where they're coming from, why that happened. And for me, that was really learning that the root causes drive these things. And that could be past lives. It could be things that just are not within their control that cause them to act out that way, to behave that way. And it sure makes it easier when you have a higher perspective like that to really let things go and to not take everything personally.
That's actually, because a lot of people say, let it go. It just means like, what, just pretend it doesn't happen, like it doesn't matter, the consequence. But really, it's about moving past it. And when you just, because you just brought up about, to do with roots and when you think of the chakras, you yourself work, I mean, you use Reiki and we use the symbols. So with the chakras, that's where you and Ken actually started working with each other was with the chakras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's
very vital.
Blocked or cleared or what kind of, is that something that we can do ourselves by just kind of doing a check-in with?
In the simpler form, yes. You can definitely go through guided meditation. How to feel them, experience them. Once you can do that, you can become aware of the state of them. And to a certain degree, yeah, most people have the ability to clear their own, barring anything major. So now if there's like severe damage to one of your chakras or anything like that, it's probably going to be out of most people's scope of ability. But understanding that, yes, maybe there are some limitations, certainly just about everybody can do something.
Okay,
like yeah, that. Yeah, with training, obviously, but yeah.
And then actually, I'm going to take this opportunity you can do this work and this assistance and over the phone and Skype or anything like that. Like anybody listening right now can get in contact with you if they need help from you.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, there are limitations. Some physical ailments do require me to be in person. I have limitations still with physical healing. But for anything that's non-physical, yeah, there's no requirement to be in my presence or proximity. You can be on Timbuktu, you can be in Timbuktu, you can be on the other side of the planet. It really isn't relevant because I'm working with non-physical energy that is exists everywhere and is all connected. So yeah, I can alter it. But when it comes to the physical world that we're living in and our density of our bodies, there are different rules that apply, and sometimes I don't like it.
Yes, you think, what a limitation that's there.
Why? I don't like this limitation. This stinks.
Yes. So would the steps be for somebody right now? Because I want to make sure everybody knows how to get hold of you. Should they get your book one, book two, and we'll run through all the names and how people can get hold of you and sites and how to reach out to you?
Absolutely. You can look up my name, Kim Works. My last name is Wuerch, spelling W-U-I-R-C-H. If you Google my name, you're going to find me. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. You can find me by looking up Waking Up an Empath. You can find me by looking up Awakened Empath. My books are on Amazon. They're on Balboa Press. They're everywhere. I mean, really, you go to iBooks, you punch in one of my books, you're going to find me. I'm very accessible.
Yay! And we're Facebook connected, so I've been just following and listening to your I love this about you. All your posts are very related. Like, I relate to almost everything. You're just talking about daily stuff, and then you throw in a few angel fun things in there, and then you're off. You know, all the stories fit together, and it's real life. And I think that's why I was so drawn to you, and I just was so excited to be able to get to share you with the listeners, because there's everybody thinking, okay, well, I'm not this crazy spiritual thing, but I love that you teach people how to do it, how to access themselves, and you hold the support whilst they're in the middle of everything. So in this final minute of complete wrap-up, is there anything you'd like to share with us as we say goodbye?
I just want everybody to know that I know this stuff isn't the standard or the norm yet, but it's going to be. And just wait for it. And if you need to keep things under wraps for now, then don't worry. There's small communities out there that will keep you under wraps.
Aw, well, thank you so much, Kim Wuerch, and I'm going to post all the good stuff about you online, and they're going to find you. So thank you again so much, Kim. We're happy to have you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay, bye, everyone. We'll see you next week.